You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people. So, Daryl, how are you going?
Yes, good, thanks, Jessica. And you?
That's good. Yeah, fine. I got here anyway.
Yeah,
this is the second of our two specials on the DSP, on the problems of getting DSP, staying on DSP, and then dealing with the various things expected of you, such as the old job centres and everything else. And so you've been on the Australian Unemployed Workers Union advice line?
Yeah, I'm on there one day every week. And every week I bring one of the calls into our show here and I talk about it. So I've got one here now.
Okay, go ahead, Daryl.
Okay. Now, this is a woman by the name of Anna. Now, she just started a new job that she got herself. She informed the job provider about the job. Big mistake there, I must add. But it was because she needed help with public transport fares. But
that's completely legit to ask for that help. And there are a lot of other ways that the job centres can help people, which some people aren't aware of.
Exactly. Instead, they told her they can't help her unless she gives the name of the employer or who she's working for. Mm. And they even suspended, or think they threatened to suspend her payments if she didn't hand over her pay slips as well.
Interesting.
I told her straight out, well, that's just not right. They cannot do that. That's just ridiculous. So, of course, I told her to get in touch with DESE, the Department of Education, Skills and Employment, put a formal complaint into them, and then they'll get onto the job provider and put them straight. Mm. So I didn't hear back from her, but as long as she as I suggested, she got her payments back. Mm. Because, of course, they can't suspend your payments for not giving them your pay slips, which they have no right to anyway.
We've heard a bit about this already on the show. We've heard numerous occasions of this happening.
Yeah. Look, I get this same complaint nearly every week when I'm on the line for the Australian Unemployed Workers Union.
The other thing is, of course, we have got a dob in your job provider on the website. If you look at our website, auwu.org.au, you can actually record a complaint there against a job provider if you feel, because they are, after all, keeping files on us. So
It's
up to us to sort of be basically tracking how they're behaving.
Yeah, and it goes the other way too. Like, I keep telling all my callers to keep a detailed diary, which is easy to do on computer these days, of all interactions, phone calls, meetings, who said what, when, why, what for, and all the rest of it, because that's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
And, I've been doing that for a long time, and I remember one complaint. I had to call them back, and they said the second time I called, they said this. And I was able to look back on my diary and say, well, no, that happened, not this. They didn't know what to say to that.
And again, that good you are, as organised as you are, but if I was on a call, I might be stressing out about that and I wouldn't necessarily be writing down everything they said or recording it.
So. No, the same here, but I'll generally wait till the call's over and then I'll type it straight away while it's still fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
But you can also record your calls too if you have the means to.
And then you can just let them know.
If you like, but if they don't know and you record the call, it just means you can't use it for any legal purposes.
But you can use
that's
it to
all.
Remind yourself of what the call was.
Yeah, exactly.
The content of the call.
I'd do that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, as we've been mentioning, Daryl was mentioning he's on this advice line. Well, we'll just give you the number straight away. It's the AUWU line, which is you can call any Monday to Friday between 10 and 2, and the number is 1-800-289-848. And if you haven't got that down, just quickly Google auwu.org.au.
Yeah, and it comes up straight away. And we're happy to hear from you.
Yeah, and bear that in mind and tell your friends as well, because it's all staffed by union members, unemployed, other unemployed people or people on various benefits. So
we're all just volunteers on benefits ourselves. So any advice that the union gives you cannot be taken as legal advice, of course.
No, but it's basically advice from experience.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Hi, I'm Michelle Briere, Mani Dubanais, Ojibwe from Canada.
And I am Shakti Hayes from the Cree Nation, Canada.
And you're listening to 3CR
Community Radio.
And we love and support community radio. Why?
Because it speaks the truth.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Because this is our second DSP special, we are going to be talking to Danielle, who's an active member of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. She's going to be talking about her DSP experiences. So we'll just bring her into the show. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Jessica. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Hi, Danielle. Very good, thank you. And
good.
You?
So far, so good regarding our show.
Yeah, we lost you last week.
Yeah.
I know.
It
was all Jessica's fault.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for that. All right. So this is really our second show talking about the DSP, as I said. So tell us for a start about your sort of initial experiences of getting on the DSP, the Disability Support Pension.
So I'm on the Disability Support Pension for a psychosocial disability. So I can only probably 7 years of thinking I didn't need help and going from periods of medicated to sort of medicated to maybe not medicated. So part of that was not willing, you know, you don't think there's anything wrong with you when someone first tells you, and I hear it a lot from people with bipolar as well, when they're first told, I'm not bipolar. Anyway, so part of getting on the DSP, I suppose, around on unstable housing and situations, half semi-psychotic states and all that kind of stuff. Part of it is accepting help and choosing to be medicated because they won't look at you unless you've tried everything. So it's kind of similar with the NDIS. I've heard some people say who are younger than me and possibly have a different experience generationally due to systems being different for different generations, they thought the normal pathway onto the DSP was to get the NDIS first. But no, I can't speak to that experience because I was diagnosed at 35. And So
how long ago was that, Danielle?
I guess they didn't diagnose you after a first psychotic episode, but after several, and when you admit to them, which is part of it, admitting to things, that I think that was about, I'm not sure in the years, but I'm 43 now. So, what's that, 8 years ago?
Yeah.
I'm lucky that I have, living on a job seeker in a private rental, of course you can't afford clinical psychs. And part of my not getting better and getting worse possibly is because, you know, mental health isn't in Medicare and that I'd try not to do it because I didn't want to ask relatives for money. And eventually I had to accept both money from relatives and help from psychologists and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not easy when you've got to go for help like that, is it?
But I suppose things I've learned since, I just wanted to talk to you guys about that, working with, say, when you have a psychotic episode, working with the CAT team and not dropping out of care, like taking it up and don't, speaking from the experience of this psychosocial ability, getting hooked straight into your catchment area's community services. And that's the only way, because psychology isn't adequate or free under Medicare, that someone on JobSeeker, which is obviously you're probably not holding down a job because you've got this psychiatric state, but you're not getting any better and you're not getting diagnosed. So without getting into the community services, you're not going to go anywhere. And so those are the only avenues for people without generous family members, say, like I eventually ended up going with. But other free services that I've used, possibly, you know, so the one in the last year has been probably the biggest one is the, I keep forgetting what I wrote it down, early intervention psychosocial relapse service program or something. So
okay, has that got an acronym or something?
Yeah. I'm just going to EIPRS, and that is a state-funded program, and they'll give you, and they're in run by a different, say, private, I'm in Southside catchment now, which is BHN, which is recently merged from Star Health, and they're running that IPSAR program. But I believe it's running in different areas. And, of course, depending on whether you're south, east, west, north, you've got a different catchment. And the same with CAT teams. And it doesn't help because people with psychosocial disabilities often end up transient and moving around lots. So if you're moving between catchments, it doesn't help at all either.
Mm.
So the best thing you can do is get in with local catchments and services, which is it's no small feat in itself to try and stay stable.
Mm-hmm.
And attending those and turning up, like when you first start, people literally they acknowledge that and they're like, good on you for turning up, you know, like good on you for seeking out help. And then those sorts of programs can help you apply for things like DSP or NDIS or get you into community groups, which then therefore often it's ironic that hey, we can't give you housing and you might be in a really unstable situation, but we'll give you an art group or a walking group. And at the time, you can just be like...
So you might have a roof over your head, but you've got an art group.
Exactly, right? But what it does do for the thing is it means you become, if you can keep turning up to those things, it makes you a local community member, which means that you're more likely to get accepted into community housing, which I've recently got.
Right. Congrats. I was so happy when I heard that you'd got some stable housing.
That's great. Yeah.
It's going to change everything. I'm sure it does.
When last week we were talking about the whole process of getting on the DSP and how you really need someone, whether it's a social worker or a friend, to sort of help you with the forms and then sort of encourage you. And so did you find the social worker that they gave you did help you get through that process?
Probably not enough. And I think that was the other thing is I think the hardest part is where there is a psychosocial issue. We're probably the least likely people to want to be community members. We're paranoid and mistrustful and want to be alone and getting triggered all the time from spending time with people. So it's kind of a catch-22. Look, they didn't do nothing, but it's actually the will to survive. And it's the will to not give up and say, I want to live and not under a bridge. And I think that's what I still had to fight a lot. As in, when I say fight, I had to do a lot of the work for the support work. I'd have to do my own research and go back. And sometimes I was drafting letters for them.
That's it. A friend, and one of my neighbours in Wonthaggi, she applied 3 times and it was just so stressful for her. She didn't get on it. She's got to wait and try and get on age pension when she gets old enough. But just that whole process was so demoralising.
And if you don't get in, and I was, because I was putting all my time and energy into this clinicians who could write the documents, and it's 18 months worth of seeing someone and to get the documents where they can advocate and say, oh, I've known this person long enough to say that validate and all this sort of stuff. So I thought a lot of time and money. And then you get to the end of that. And my DSP was rejected the first time. I didn't go back for 2 years. I didn't try again.
Right,
So it was rejected before 2020. And it was really to do with the fact that I hadn't been committed enough to the medication and I hadn't been committed enough to seeing someone consistently because, and of course, I was broke all the time on JobSeeker, right?
And plus that's some COVID time as well.
Yeah. But I did want to mention also that I have met people in City of Yarra who have a program there called the STAY program.
As in STAY?
Yeah, that's all I know. Mm. And I know that people in that area, obviously there's a lot of public housing towers and that's how I've met those people. But I don't know other areas like West or North or whatever. But, yes, I can only... STAY program in City of Yarra apparently is to help people get them the psychiatric and psychologist sort of psychosocial needs met, which aren't available really anywhere else in the community.
Oh, that sounds good. I suppose, yeah, well, because we've got, a half-hour show, but it's tight, but I think what you've shown is your determination. Like you couldn't get it, and then you just went back to it. And yeah, I think
sound like a real fighter there.
Yeah,
I wanted to say not give up, but also I wanted to say I've made the most progress since being really knowing you guys, AUWU, and other friends in the last year. Like, I mean, I've known you guys on and off for 7 years or more, and having those activist connections. And I think, you know, I walked away several times because I wasn't well enough to deal with people. But once you can get to the point where you can interact with other people going through the same things, be it AUWU, picnic, you just learn so much more from someone telling you their lived experience than a worker who has to tick boxes and maybe can't tell you exactly the truth.
Oh, well, great. Well, thanks so much, Danielle, for talking to us, and hopefully we'll talk to you again about some of the housing campaigns you're involved with.
Yeah, cool. Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll talk.
Have a good night. Soon.
Bye.
Thanks very much for talking to us, Danielle.
Bye.
No worries. Bye.
Always bringing you the latest union news.
They're coming after us at the moment. They want to get rid of penalty rates, the big push from businesses. They want to get rid of all the things that you and I have fought for.
So there's tens of thousands of jobs gone, contracted out to sham contracting arrangements.
On 8:55 a.m. and on the web, 3cr.org.au. Wasting time in the
unemployment lines. Stand in solidarity with Palestine this Sunday.
Hi, it's Nasser Mashni from Palestine Remembered, Australia's only dedicated show on Palestine. Join me every Saturday morning at 9:30, and very importantly, get along to our rallies. Sunday, 12 o'clock, State Library. Join us.
We have to mobilise to show our support for Palestine. 12 p.m. State Library this Sunday.
Rally to demand freedom and justice for Palestine. No war on Gaza.
Free Palestine Melbourne is a 3CR supporter.
And you're listening to The Breadline, which is the Australian Unemployed Workers Union show on wonderful 3CR every Friday of every Monday.
What, Monday.
Right? Okay, that was my deliberate mistake. Every Monday evening, 6 o'clock.
Till
6:30. And, yes. We're hoping that one of our other wonderful union people are going to be designing us a sticker, because we want to get our show out and about in the streets where people might be listening or might want to be interviewed or, make those sort of contacts. And
that's our biggest shortfall at the moment is advertising, letting people know where we are.
And just also, if that interview with Danielle raised any issues, there is I'll just give you the Lifeline number, which is 131114. You'll hear from us again at the same time next week. And just to remind everyone, if any of your friends or you do have any issues with the job providers getting, as Daryl was mentioning early, or getting threatened with being cut off when you don't provide something that they want.
Yeah, you can call in or email, give us your full name, or you could be completely anonymous, whatever you like.
And so that's the union number, 1-800-289-848.
Yeah.
And, you'll hear from us all next week.
On what day was it?
Oh, that was the Monday. Yeah. Thanks.
I'm just checking. Right. Make sure you haven't forgotten.
No.
Oh, that's good.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.